All right, we're back again doing this thing that we started to do. Yeah, you should probably spit out your gum.
Okay, give me a sec.
Are you going to swallow it?
Yeah.
Why?
That's what I do.
That's so gross.
Leave me alone.
You're so... This, oh, no.
Okay.
You like even moved your head when you did it, too. That was nasty.
I have to. It's like swallowing pills dry.
Oh, gosh.
So, we're back. Has it only been a week?
Like a week and a day.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
It's been a really long week.
Yeah, now that I think about it, now that you say that, it has. Maybe it's those 2 days off we had. Well, I guess 2 days off that I had because I usually work 6 days a week.
I don't have a job.
Yeah, I usually work 6 days a week, and I didn't work Sunday or Monday. Usually I just don't work Sunday. I didn't work Monday because it was, what day was it? Memorial Day?
Yeah.
It was a depressing day.
I'm so sorry.
I'll be honest about it. It was depressing.
Well... That actually brings us straight into the first question.
All right.
I'm not really going to beat around any bushes here. We're just going to get started.
Yeah, do it. Go.
We were asked. So, brief reminder.
Oh, yeah. If this is your first episode listening to us, then this is the format. Go ahead.
We asked people to send in questions to us, and we answer them. We don't know what question the other person has for us to answer, but in some instances, not today, but in some instances, we'll have a topic that is brought up, where one of us may have to play devil's advocate just to have a conversation going. So if it seems like that's happening, it probably is. But I really hope it's not happening today because that would make you a really insincere person.
All right, go for it.
Our first question that we're going to answer today is, what makes you happy?
Hot damn. That is an intense question to answer. Okay, we could go with the easy stuff. Obviously easy stuff. And then we could get into the more nitty gritty stuff.
Okay.
So, first of all, the biggest thing, honestly, that makes me happy is my family.
Okay.
Which I get is not a universal thing. But, yeah, my family, my younger sisters. I have 11-year-old triplet sisters, and they're honestly the light of my life. I love them more than anything in this planet. But also things that really make me happy are things I'm passionate about. Researching history. Performing. I love performing. Mm-hmm. I love to sing. That makes me really happy. I guess if you really, really want to have a, this answer just came into my head is that there's not so much things that make me extremely happy rather than there are things that make me unhappy. I think happiness at this point in my life, which is a really big deal for me, is kind of just my natural state is being a happy person.
That's so sweet.
Like, and I'm being honest about that because it has not always been that way, but there's not so much things that make me happy as things that that take me from the state of happiness.
Sorry, one sec.
Yeah, you had JCWs, huh?
Yeah, leave me alone.
So, yeah, I mean, things that make me happy though, researching history for fun, friendships, like important friendships, not like going out with a couple people who you kind of know. Going to like that does bring me some joy, but like real authentic friendships make
like
me really
honest
happy.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get that. I guess
before we continue, is that like a talisman you're wearing or something? What is that?
It's the Hindu god Ganesh.
I feel like that's a lot to get into.
I bought it in Ecuador.
Okay. Are Ecuadorians Hindu? Is there a lot of Hinduism there?
I don't speak Spanish.
I love that answered so many questions I had in my head.
I bought it in a mall.
Okay.
We were looking for objects that looked kind of cursed.
Okay.
And it was kind of dirty.
It does look like it could be cursed.
Right. It was kind of dirty when I bought it, so I didn't really know what was on it. So I bought it. It was like $10.
Okay.
Cleaned it off, and I was like wearing it. My cousin's like, are you wearing the god Ganesh? I was like, what? And she's like, you know, the patron god of like arts and wisdom. That makes so much sense.
It just
for you.
So happens that you're wearing the patron god of arts and wisdom in the Hindu religion.
Like, I don't know if that's true. If you're Hindu, please don't correct me. you can. Please do, actually. I'd love to know more about it. But I think the short answer for what makes me happy is serotonin.
I would literally end this podcast right now.
I think one of the things that I appreciate and value the most that does bring the most joy to me is being able to just spend quality time with people that I care about.
Yeah.
Just being able to take time. And I love to do stuff.
Like, didn't you tell me your love language is quality time?
I think so.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I don't know any of the other ones.
Okay, do you want me to lay it out for you?
No.
Okay.
Because I took a quiz.
And it just told you the one.
It told me all of them, but the person I took it with, they were like, okay, I'm just going to send you your results, and the link didn't work, but I never told them.
And now you're like in too deep. You can't come back like
2 weeks.
You can't come back like two. It's only been 2 weeks.
That's true.
I was gonna say,
it might have only been one.
It was like years.
That was last week.
You haven't talked to someone in years, and you're like, hey, by the way, I never got those results. Can you send them to me? And you're like, who is this?
It's like, just another person that you'll forget one day.
It just makes. That was like suddenly so sad.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like the title of like a. It sounds like something. It sounds like something.
It's a teen romance.
Yeah, it sounds like something in a teen romance, like
one of those ones where it's like the modern culture of like they die at the end,
mm-hmm.
like all the bright places.
Yeah, like the tall, dark, and handsome boy who's gonna die is like, who are you? Is like
just another person you're gonna forget one day.
Yeah.
And then it's like it cuts to like the cute music and like this is the trailer for the movie that we're describing now. So it's like this kind of depressed girl, tall, dark, and handsome, rolls in. She's like. And it's kind of like one of those chance encounters where he kind of does something not super unique, but it like saves her life, in air quotes.
Air quotes, yeah.
And then she's like, who are you? Just another person you're going to forget one day.
And then like the title fades in.
It like cuts to like the ukulele playing, and it's like these cute like moments with them. And
a montage of them like
crying
down,
and yelling.
Like crying and yelling, and then he's like, shut up, you don't know what I've been through.
And it's like he like smashes like something and he yells at his dad.
Yes, it's dead. You gotta throw in
this
the whole
nothing
like,
to do.
You're throwing away your dream. No, I'm throwing away yours. Like,
yeah. Like, there's a football.
It's like a football. He runs off the field and throws his helmet into the stands.
Yeah, and he's like, it's raining.
It's raining, and then he kisses the girl, and like,
it's an ambiguous funeral shot, so you don't know which of them dies. Yeah.
And then the title fades in the background. Sad piano music.
It's called something like super quirky, like April showers or like May sunshine or something silly like that.
It would be May sunshine. I feel like it would be May sunshine.
May sunshine. Well, that has nothing to
do.
So
anyway, what makes you happy?
Yeah, quality time mostly. I love the world. I love the earth.
Okay, so the world, so the earth meaning like landscape and things like that, or like the world meaning
sure. So let me give
everything.
You an example.
Okay.
Let me give you an example of something that made me incredibly happy.
Okay.
Yesterday I was with a friend. And we went on a hike and just like looked at the sunset, and that was like such a like good moment for me because I was able to A, spend quality time with someone that I like really like and I care about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And B, I was able to appreciate like the beauty of the earth. So looking around in that scenario, I was in a very happy spot for me because really, I don't know, it's easy to get caught up in a lot of things that are happening in the world right now, and it's easy to lose sight of what is good. And I wish it wasn't, but it is.
Okay, something that just came to my mind. A lot of people have told me things like, when they think about the universe, they feel so small, and they feel so insignificant. My twist on that is maybe one of the reasons why the beauty of the earth can bring you joy is the knowledge that you're part of something so much bigger. Instead of being insignificant compared to the grandness of the scale of everything, you're part of it. You're integral to everything that's going on.
Yeah, okay. Let me give you two opinions on that.
Okay.
One of them's real.
Okay.
The first thing that comes to mind when you say that is something that I used to tell people all the time. Because it's true and stupid.
Okay.
I'm the center of the universe.
Got it. I mean, I'd believe it, to be honest.
And
if you came to me and you were like an anime or
well,
something,
that's
what
I'm saying
to you
right
now.
I'm
the center of the universe.
I am.
I'd be like, I know.
Quite literally.
Okay.
I am. And so are you, but not to me. Because I am the center of my own observable universe.
Okay.
I am the single most important entity to myself.
Okay.
Because my perspective, my view is infinite in every direction starting from me. It doesn't start from where you're sitting. It starts from my eyes or my field of perception.
Got it.
So that's something I used to say to people all the time. And I don't necessarily believe that per se anymore. But I do think that it's important to remember that, you know, you are the first thing. that doesn't necessarily always mean that you need to come first. Like, you need to focus on you 100%, like 24/7. But I don't know what I'm where I'm going with this. I'm not telling people how to live their lives right now.
I mean, rambling is basically what a podcast is, so.
Sometimes. The other opinion with you saying, like, feeling like you're part of something bigger.
Yeah.
I think that's why, that's part of why people just go for connection in the first place, mm-hmm. is because we want to be a part of something. Like, it's inherent. We just want to be involved. We want to be able to be with people. We want to be comfortable. We want to be in an element, not necessarily wanting to be alone and shut in, because no matter how introverted you are, I really cannot believe that you would be satisfied completely alone. And
I agree with that.
So when I see these moments where I'm sitting at the top of a mountain and I can see the whole valley and I see the mountains and I can even see out to the, like, the far horizon, which is so rare because there's so much smog in this valley.
Yeah, well, and mountains and stuff.
Right.
So to be able to see the horizon is very cool.
And, like, sitting in that moment, you kind of realize the scope of things and how much you don't know and how much you haven't seen. And it does make you feel small, but I don't think feeling small is necessarily something that we need to set, like, use as kind of an excuse for feeling insignificant.
So you're saying being small does not mean you're insignificant?
Yeah, because we say, oh, we're a speck of dust, right? One of the funniest little comics I've ever seen is, like, people are, like, at war and it, like, zooms out from the Earth all the way to, like, the largest star we've ever discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And the star has this stupid face and it's looking over and it's like, that sure is some loud dust. But every single major event in all of history, history is written by the winners. We know that. We don't have to talk about that.
Yes.
But you look
I would say for about 500 years afterward.
Yeah.
Because then their truth comes out.
Right.
I would say with modern history. Anyway.
I know that you love this.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You just, like, sparked something in my head and I'm kind of going crazy.
Yeah. I mean, just for the most part.
History initially is written by the victor.
Right. So you look at history, and even when it's, like, you look back and you find the true accounts, you'll find most things that happen are started from one instance, one event. It's always one straw breaks the camel's back. It's sure there's hundreds of thousands of other straws piled up on that thing, but one breaks it.
So I have another podcast, right?
I know.
Did you listen to it?
No.
Okay. I released it today. The whole event that I covered spans 15 different countries, and it was sparked by one person doing one thing.
Which event was it?
The Arab Spring.
Oh, I saw that you posted that on your Instagram,
yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, wow, this is actually something that I remember happening.
Yeah, it was cool. It was the first thing I've covered that I remember happening.
I saw that
happening.
In the description, too. I just didn't listen.
But yeah,
I fell asleep.
It's fine. You have time to listen.
I do.
So, basically what happened is that one guy was in a town center, and there was a corrupt government, and some corrupt inspector came and wanted to take all of his stuff because he wouldn't bribe her to go away, and she was going to accuse him of something that's not illegal, but she said it was illegal, and so she took all of his stuff, the cops beat him up, and so he went to the governor's office, and he demanded an explanation. I don't want to say what happens because it's kind of gruesome, but basically he died. And because he was rebelling against the government and he demanded, and his death was in opposition to the government, he was a political martyr, that sparked the Arab Spring, which caused massive protests in more than 15 countries.
Right, and there's no way that this guy said, I'm going to go talk to the governor to cause an entire shift in the entire Middle East.
The entire Arab world.
Like, it's going to become a global thing. Like,
he was just pissed off.
He was going for his stuff.
Yeah, he was just pissed off.
And you look at people like, I mean, there's always historical figureheads. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, and Rosa Parks and these people that it's just these instances where you remember one person stood their ground or stood for something and hundreds of others followed, thousands of others followed.
Mm-hmm.
People to this day still follow ideologies that one person can be accredited for the
mm-hmm.
most part. Like, you just reflect back on the sheer, like, magnitude of what a single individual can do. And although maybe you'll only affect a few people, but if you're changing more lives than just your own, then that's not so small. Because maybe in my whole life, I'll only really influence one person for the better. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that's my lot.
Yeah.
But if that person only goes to one or two more, and those one or two more go to one or two more, eventually, one thing I do, whether I'll ever get credit for it, whether I'll ever be known for it or not, will affect everyone in one way or another. And it's the same with, like, terrible things happen. Like, you just look at all these different things that happened throughout history, and sometimes something awful is caused by a single individual deciding that they wanted to do something one way, or just one choice causes a huge shift. I mean, it's one of the most... I was looking at this today. There's, like, some really hot takes on a very controversial person, Adolf Hitler, right?
He was my first thought when you said one person.
And you look at it, and it's like, well, if he'd been accepted into art school, maybe he wouldn't have done what he did. If he was deported because he was Austrian instead of getting allowed to enter the German Imperial Army, then maybe he wouldn't have been able to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
If that British soldier who supposedly didn't kill him during World War I actually killed him, maybe...
What could have been different?
What could have been different? And that's one... Those are three different instances of what could have essentially been one person making one decision in someone else's life that could have altered the course of all of human history. Well, not all of it, but all of relevant modern history.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to be honest, in the United States, I really do think that the most significant shifts that are still affecting us to this day started in World War II.
I would agree with that.
Because although World War I was very significant, World War II caused more waves.
Mm-hmm.
And although the Great Depression was significant and all these other things, I think that where we're at today is directly consequential of the events of World War II. Like, we could bounce back from any of the other things, but this is something that's still got us where we are.
Well, it's like the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
So many different things have come to have happened because of World War II. I mean, Vietnam happened because of World War II, and Korea happened because of World War II.
And
the Cold War because of World
War II. Basically, the whole conflict in the Middle East
happened because of World War II.
And there's so much with, like, communism and...
Well, the reason why we're so afraid of communism is because of things that happened in World War II.
Right, and that's another thing that I reflect on is, have you ever read Man's Search for Meaning?
Yes.
So Dr. Frankl.
Viktor Frankl.
Yeah.
What a dude.
He says what I believe to be one of my favorite lines in literature at the very end of the book. He says, because of the Holocaust, we know what man is capable of. And because of Hiroshima, we know what's at stake.
That's a good line.
Yeah. And for anyone who hasn't read it, Viktor E. Frankl is a survivor of the Holocaust, and the first half of his book, it's a very short book, it's a very good book, is detailing his experience in the concentration camps. The second half is sort of his philosophical take on how we can apply what he learned to our lives.
I'd recommend reading. You could read it in a day.
It's a short read. If you need to borrow a copy, I have to.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I might want one. Unless you don't want me to have it.
I don't know. I'll...
Because, well, that's the thing. I get emotionally attached to books, as you can see.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on your books right now. Now's not the time to expose you. But just bouncing back before we get too far into talking about the, like...
Holocaust.
Political aspects of the world right now.
Okay.
There are a lot of things that can make people happy.
Yes.
And... there are a lot of things that can make people unhappy. I think the most significant things, like the most significant moments in my life, were all small things that people didn't notice.
I would totally agree with that.
Like, I reflect, you think about like major events that happened. I broke my arm, that changed nothing in my life.
There are major things that have happened in my life that I forget happened until somebody brings it up.
Like, I've got permanent scarring on both hands all over. Mm-hmm. And I remember where the scars came from, but they weren't traumatizing events. They weren't things that really shook me or changed my life.
Yeah.
I've literally watched people die, and those haven't been the most significant events in my life.
Yeah, and when someone asks you maybe what is some of the most significant things that have happened in your life, you've talked to me about this. Sometimes it's just like a passing comment someone makes.
Or just one thing that you didn't expect to happen.
Yeah.
And it just sticks with you. and it bothers you
forever.
Maybe in a good way, but
it sticks with you.
It sticks with you. And I don't know, it's just food for thought, I guess.
Well, I saw a meme the other day, and it was there's this trend going around where all of us guys are now exposing ourselves and how passing compliments that women make us happy for years on end.
That is true.
And it's like, and I saw this like it was like boys thinking about boys when their parents are yelling at them, but they're thinking about the compliment this girl gave them 5 years ago, and they're like sad on the outside but happy on the inside.
I saw one where it was like, I can't even remember what character it was. It was something from like a Disney Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of like not very interested. It's like girls getting compliments on the daily. And then it was like Squidward in like a field with all these flowers. And it's like boys reflecting on that one nice thing a girl said three years ago.
That meme, and it's real. Like, we hold on to compliments. Women listening to this podcast, please compliment men.
Does anyone listen to this podcast?
We'll find out eventually. I haven't actually looked at any of the numbers
yet. Say nice things to me, because it really affects my life.
Like, since we dropped our first episode, I have not looked at the numbers.
I checked our email.
And?
Nothing.
Oh.
It's not like I gave anybody the link to this.
Yeah, me either. This podcast is still incognito.
I gave Amy Ruiz the link to it,
because
I told her I would.
Yeah.
But I didn't make that promise to anyone else.
Well, most people I know don't even know this exists yet.
I haven't talked about it.
Yeah. Someday. Probably in the next few weeks, actually.
Next couple of weeks, yeah.
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 So anyway, go back to square one.
What makes you happy?
Yeah.
And
for me, it's human connection of most kinds in a positive way. My family, researching history, and performing.
I love being able to spend time with people. I love being able to appreciate the world. I love being able to take time to appreciate people.
In the world.
One thing, there's like two things that really make me happy, and that is A, other people being happy and me knowing that I may have had something to do with it.
Yeah, that's true.
And number two, or B, I don't remember how I was listing this. I think I said A.
Number one and B.
Number one, I like to see other people happy. And B, I really do like to hear people talking about what they care about.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about seeing other people get excited and be passionate about something that's just, like, such, like, a joy-inducing, like, thing, you know?
Yeah. When people get excited about something, it's one of the most beautiful things that you can witness. Like when they get excited about something they're passionate about, and when they talk about something and you see their pupils dilate and they just get excited. It's, like, it's one of the most human beautiful things that you can experience. And unfortunately, we live in a very and this is not my opinion, I believe that this is fact, we live in a very self-centered world where we particularly because of I blame a lot of negative things in the world on social media.
Yeah.
And
garage door effect.
Yeah. And I will blame this on social media, that we live in a world where we want to make ourselves look as good as possible. We want to make sure that we're as happy as possible. We look at other people and we're not as happy as they are. And I wish that I was as happy as they are. I wish that I had what they have. And because of that, we live in a world where it's difficult to, a lot of people haven't learned how to celebrate someone else's success and someone else's joy.
Yeah, because it's pride.
Yes.
It's look at how great I am. Not a bad thing to say.
No.
Therefore, I am better than you.
That is a bad thing to say.
Which is a bad thing to say.
And yes.
We are, it's this comparison that brings happiness away.
To view yourself as a wonderful person is good. That is a good thing.
To think yourself, that makes you better than someone is not.
That is not a good thing.
But to view someone else and think that they're wonderful and that makes you a worse person is just as bad as thinking you're better than them. Because that's honestly, in a strangely twisted way, thinking you're somehow better than them.
Well, we talked about this before. Humility is not thinking that you're less than other people or that you're not as good as something else.
Humility is so much. Check the other podcast. Curious Empath.
Curious Empath podcast. We did an episode on there. We talked a lot about humility, which I think was probably one of the best episodes I've ever put up, to be honest.
That's awesome. I was going to say, this came to mind. I don't know why. You know the Next to Normal?
The musical?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect for you.
Yes.
I think Henry makes a really good point.
He's not saying it's perfect for me. He's saying that's a song.
Yeah, the song Perfect For You. The character Henry makes a really good point in that song. Like,
what he makes a lot of good points. Which one are you referring to?
The whole point of the song. Where he says, you know, our planet kind of sucks, but... And we're doing a lot of damage. But, you know, if we just take time and focus on being the best we can be... And he's saying he can be the best person for this girl.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's saying, you know, let's just take it out of context and say, just be the best you can be, then, you know, baby steps, but we'll be able to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with happiness is a byproduct. It's not a means to an end. It's a byproduct. If you spend your life seeking happiness, you'll never find it. But if you seek... like simple joys and simple pleasures, if you seek things that you're passionate about, then happiness will come along the way. Because one thing that detracts our happiness, I do believe, like, the influence of comparison culture and the idea that we need to be something we aren't to be good enough for something or someone who doesn't even know we exist. And the first, like, one of the first steps to being able to just reach that byproduct of happiness is honestly outward thinking.
Like, so define outward thinking. Like, I think I get what you mean.
So I'm saying, like, if you focus on yourself all the time, then you're going to find things that you can be upset about. It's so easy to be critical of yourself.
Oh, yes.
But if you just...
Well, if you look hard enough for something to be upset about in any way, anywhere, you'll right. find it.
But if you just let yourself take a back burner, I'm not saying to take the heat off. I'm not saying to completely ignore your life. I'm saying if you take the time to focus on helping other people where you can, if you take the time to focus on checking in on someone or just sort of doing your part, I'm not saying at all that you should stop focusing on yourself because working on yourself is very important. But taking time to think about someone else and taking time to help someone else is where you start finding the byproduct of happiness. Because if I... just spend all my time thinking about how awful my problems are or how awful the things I deal with are, then I'm going to get overwhelmed and it's going to be hard to deal with them. But if I say, you know, I have friend X, Y, or Z who's upset and I'm going to do what I can to help them, then I do that. I will find my problems, A, becoming smaller and less significant, and B, I will find myself happier because this comparison culture has forced us all to think so much about ourselves, but not of ourselves. And it's just not good. It's never a bad thing to think good of yourself. And it's always a good thing to solve your problems.
Yes.
But I do think that some of the greatest joys in life come from trying to help. Or trying to do what you can. Sometimes the most help you can offer is just being there.
Yes, absolutely.
And you'll still be able to find joy there.
I had a lot of people tell me while I was growing up that if I serve someone, then I would feel better. And the word serve freaked me out. I don't know why, but it did for a long time. I guess because I thought that if I go and serve someone, it meant like doing all their yard work or something. And they were like, you need to serve people every day. Piece together, well, I guess I'll go have to do everybody's yard work every single day.
Which is not.
And I just didn't like that idea. So the concept of service freaked me out. But as I got older, I realized service can be something as small as sending someone a text to tell them that you're thinking about them. When someone I haven't talked to in months texts me and says, hey, I'm just thinking about you. How are you doing? Like, the whole rest of my day could be absolute garbage and I'd feel great.
Honestly, if somebody that I'd talked to that same morning said that to me, I'd probably feel great.
15 minutes later, hey, I'm just thinking about you.
I'm thinking about you, and I just really hope that you're doing well.
You're just walking around with a smile ear to ear around your face.
Honestly.
Yeah, but I realize service is much more than what we see when we see like a commercial that's to serve others and people doing yard work. That's what I thought. It's more than that. Service can be something as small as... opening a door for someone. It could be as small as... Because, I mean, when someone is walking in front of you, you don't know them, and they open and they hold the door for you, it makes you feel good.
Should.
And then if you do it for someone else, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
That it's small things. It's not these huge, extravagant and things.
I just want to take it one step a little bit past that is...
Yeah, keep going.
The conscious decision to be completely unbothered by people who are ungrateful is another very important thing.
I want to write that down and put it on a wall, because that's pretty good.
Because if I hold a door for someone and they just kind of scoff or they don't acknowledge me, sometimes you can be mad forever. Mm-hmm. Like, man, that guy's a jerk. Like, what the heck? But who cares? Like, that's you did your part. Like, you tried to do something nice, and if they reject it, that you can't really let yourself be bothered by that. Because you aren't in control of the consequences of decisions you make, be they good or bad, right? But you are in control of the decisions you make. It's absolutely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just continually choose to do good and to not seek happiness, but seek things that bring happiness, like, I don't go look at nature to feel happy. I go look at nature because I know that I like it. So
you don't make a decision like, I'm going to go look at nature.
I'm going to go be happy. I want to go see something gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to go look at nature because that'll make me happy. It's, I'm going to
look at nature because I want
to. Look at nature because I want to.
And then happiness is just a byproduct of that situation. I don't say, man, I really want to go hang out with Tanner because I just need to feel happy right now. I say,
Do I make you happy? Is happiness a byproduct of my presence? Quality time
is what I like.
Happiness is a byproduct of my presence, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, let that go to your head.
Yeah, too late.
I said let it.
Already did.
Okay. I just used you as an example because you're here, Tanner.
Yeah.
You're also the one of two people I hang out with anymore.
I mean, that's cool with me.
Maybe seven.
That's not cool with me. Just kidding.
Like, five of them's all at once.
Yeah.
But I don't say, you know, oh man, I really need to go hang out with somebody because I just... I'm looking for that serotonin. I'm looking for that.
I need that dopamine.
Looking for that sweet happy juice.
I need that rush of dopamine right now.
No, I hang out with people because I want to hang out with people, and then happiness is a byproduct. Like, the experience is a byproduct.
So, and pursuing things that you desire,
yeah,
that in a healthy way.
Sure, but you have to make this conscious decision that I'm going to make the choices that I think are good, and I can't be bothered by the choices somebody else is about to make because of it. Which is a lot. That's hard. But you do it in baby steps. Like, let's say, you know, I clean my house and nobody says anything to me. You know, I can choose to be mad and never clean my house again. Just like, oh, wow, ungrateful family and or roommates.
No compliments.
No compliments. Nobody told me I did a good job. Nobody even said anything about it. They're just taking everything. Who cares? Okay? My mom works the most thankless job on the planet, being my mom. Because I have six siblings and my dad, and my mom does a freaking lot, and I don't think she gets a lot of credit for that. Or you look at even my dad. Nobody's ever said to my dad, hey, dad, thanks for, you know, doing the basic dad job that you've given yourself of bringing money so we don't die. Like, it's just something that we expect, so it's not something that we really appreciate. We take it for granted.
It's become the norm. So
it's like if somebody holds a door for you and you're like, oh man, well, that's just what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you what you do. If you don't hold the door for anybody, then it's not what you do. It's what somebody else does. If you return your shopping cart because it's what you're supposed to do, you're not doing that for credit. There's not any cops that are going to stop you from just leaving it in the middle of the lot. You're doing it because it's what you should do. It's what you want to do. There's literally people that are hired by stores to go round up the shopping carts. That job sucks.
I've done it.
Like, I can't imagine that being any fun. Like, the whole time you're probably just like, I cannot believe they took this cart all the way to the back of the lot. There's a cart returned 2 feet from them, and left it over here by this pole.
I thought it every day, honestly.
Like, but... You can't be either of the people. The one that's mad at strangers for not doing something that has no consequence.
For not living up to their expectations.
For not living up to your expectations.
Yeah.
And you can't be the person that leaves something because it's not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Don't be the it's not my problem person.
Don't be the it's always my problem person either.
Yeah, don't be either. There's a sweet spot.
There's a sweet spot, and I know you know what I'm talking about, and if you don't, text me. we can talk about it.
867-5309.
8890137.
That one. Yeah. Did you really just drop your number?
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you?
No. So? That's a song from the 80s.
8675309?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
I'll just play it for you when we finish the podcast.
I know that song.
Okay.
I didn't catch it when you said it, but I did just drop my number. 889-0137. text me.
Sweet.
Don't call me. I won't answer.
Call me, beat me. If you want to reach me. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. We're doing just...
Yeah, we're trying to have this a little bit shorter today.
We're going to do a little bit shorter. We are at 35 minutes right now.
So let's go ahead and take a quick pause.
All right. Word from our sponsors.
Word from our sponsors.
Really quick. JD is going to be reading a script from a sponsor. So here he is. Listen to his beautiful voice. And we're back. Didn't he sound beautiful? His luscious voice. Thanks. It was lovely.
For some reason, I just wanted to start screaming.
Okay, so second question. What is the weirdest dream you have ever had?
Oh my gosh, let me pull up my dream journal.
Yeah, because I when I saw that question, I immediately thought of one dream that's been in my head since I think I was like 6 years old when I had this dream. And you played Smash Bros. Melee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know the Metroid level when they're in the big cave?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've never played Metroid. I don't know like what the context is behind that level.
Okay.
But there's this big level where they're in this cave, this enormous cavern. Like, I'm talking like science fiction size cavern with lava and all that science fiction good stuff. My dream was that I was in that cavern. I was on a floating island with a picket fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a door. I can't remember. I think the door was white. And I was with all like my neighborhood friends. We were all like 5 or 6 years old. We were youngins, and we walked up to that door, and there was nothing behind the door.
Mm-hmm.
We opened it, and then there was a witch there, and she was staring at us. And then we closed the door, and then we opened it again, and the witch was still there, but she was in a different spot, and she was looking at us and like making a face at us.
That's so
and
weird.
We closed the door, and we opened it again. She was and like one of the times, like suddenly her eyes were like twice the size of her head or something. And then we closed the door, we opened it again, and then she was like sprawled across the side of the doorway, like creeping on us or something. And I wasn't scared. Like I was at no point during it was I scared. I was just it was a game. It was a game we were playing with this witch being.
Okay.
And then at one point, like my friend like hopped over the fence, and then the whole island started crumbling, and so we had to like grab him, and then the island would stop crumbling. And it, like, I remember that dream so vividly,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but that is the single weirdest dream I've ever had.
Okay, so all my dreams are really weird.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna let you kind of choose. Okay. So first, you can look at the titles I've given to my dreams.
Just give me a brief summary, like.
No, so it'll take too long. I love talking about this. So I'm gonna let you look at the titles of my dreams in my dream journal, but then I'm also gonna mention, like, just for you to choose from. A couple of other dreams that I've had, and I'm just gonna let you pick one, and we're just gonna talk about that one.
Okay.
So first, go ahead and like read these.
Wow, there's a lot of these.
Yeah, I don't record all of them. Wow. I just record some of them.
I love these titles. These are very creative.
It's relevant to the dream. So
they're beautiful.
The other dreams that I've had are the time I met the dream witches, the recurring dream that I will never be happy about. And the recurring theme in my dreams that I will also never be happy about.
Okay, I'm torn between a few of these.
Those are any of these ones.
So first of all, the dream witches sounds fascinating.
It's surreal.
That sounds like kind of an acid trip.
Might have been.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about that. Dreams are kind of acid trips. Also, the dads can fly really appeals to me.
Dads can fly is not as interesting as it sounds. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay, that's really disappointing because it sounds really interesting. Okay, let's go with the dream witches.
Okay, I'll talk about the dream witches. People don't believe me when I tell this story, so I don't... I'm going to tell you, actually, I'm going to do two. Because I really want to mention the recurring dream first.
Okay.
That I will never get over. I'm so mad about this.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through this one really quickly.
Yeah, okay. I was going, are you going to crash course this or what?
I'm
going
to crash course this because it's simple.
Okay, go ahead.
Over the course of several months, I kept having a recurring dream. Not every night, but about once a week. And it was progressive. It started with me just walking, completely dark. I had no sensory, nothing. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything. I was just walking in the dark. That was the first dream. The next, and I'm not going to like separate them like
that. So that was it. That was the whole dream.
That was the whole dream. The next time I have the dream, I'm walking, but now I can see there's sort of a street I'm on, but it's like white sketch lines. There's not really, but they're gray.
It was like the really dark. It was like the Aha music video.
But it's all black.
Okay.
Everything's still black. It's like these sort of gray sketch lines.
Okay, got it.
But I can barely see him. I can tell I'm on a road. Okay? Done. Next dream. I'm now in, like, a sort of city. Okay?
Okay.
There's a little bit more definition. Okay? Next dream. There's now shapes of what I think are people everywhere. on the sidewalks. I'm in the middle of the road, and they're making noise, kind of just moaning. I can't make out any real words.
This is giving me, like, great ideas for a screenplay, if I'm being
totally
honest.
Done. Over. Next dream. I'm again. There's nothing around me, but I can see something in the distance. Done. It's closer now. Done. It's closer now. Done. It's closer now.
So this is like a weeks-spanning dream.
Yeah, months.
Months-spanning dream.
And I finally get to this big, huge structure, right? And the way it is I come up, and there's, like, this base. It's like a little triangle where they meet, and it's two spiral staircases that go up. They pass each other, and they come up to a platform. At the platform, I go up the staircase, okay? I get to the top.
It sounds like Dark Souls to me.
It's psychotic. I get to the top, and I go around, and there's another staircase. It's, like, one of those wide staircases that kind of goes in and then back out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
a grand.
Like a grand
I'm going up that. Yeah. It gets to, like, another platform. There's, like, a little, another staircase thing, and I'm going up. It's, like, another small spiral. As I'm going up, this huge, like, machine thing starts moving, and this, like, it's, like, kind of spinning up and, like, you know?
I wish you could see what he's doing with his hands. This is
and
crazy.
It's coming up, and it rises up, and right as I get up to the top of it, this thing, like, opens up, and there's a box, and the box, like, lifts out, and the box starts opening up, and there's a bright light coming out of the box.
I'm taking in so much information right now.
Before I can see what's inside the box, I wake up, and I never have the dream again.
Whoa, that's crazy.
So,
I'm not saying that's crazy. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy.
Okay, now here's the dream witches.
Okay. And the thing about recurring dreams is that recurring dreams are one of the most fascinating things on this planet.
The dream witches was the start of another set of recurring dreams.
Well, so I'm saying recurring dreams are, like, one of the most fascinating things on your planet, because for whatever reason, your subconscious is really trying to drive a point home about something.
And I don't get it.
And, well, that's the thing, is you get to the end, you get to the climax of your dream. This is, like, what it's all been leading to, and then you never have it again.
Right.
And you don't know what it means.
I'm mad.
Yeah.
So here's the dream witches. Okay. I wake up in a field.
Dream witches.
I wake up in a field.
I'm gonna have a dream about this tonight.
All of the dream witches things start with me waking up.
So dream witches are a series of dreams.
I never see the dream witches again, but every dream I had after that for the next 6 months was somehow related to this.
This is the dream witch project.
Yeah. Nobody believes me when I tell them this story. I wish they would, because it's shaken me.
Is this like the Fates? Like the Fates in Hercules? Like,
maybe.
Like dream witches?
So I wake up in a field, right?
Okay.
Green,
freaked out.
Blue sky.
Oh, okay.
There's a hill.
Oh, it's a nice field.
Well, it's an empty field. It's completely quiet.
But it's a nice field.
Right, but I can hear myself, but nothing else.
So it's an uncomfortable field. There's something not right about it.
But there's a hill.
Okay.
That's it. It's infinite, like, field into the horizons, but there's one hill. I'm like, okay, well, obviously I have to go up the hill because this dream has a point. I go up the hill. There's a building.
I love that you can make that conscious decision in your dream. You're like, okay, I guess I'm just going to go up this hill now because obviously there's nothing else to do around here.
Right. And I get to the building and I was like, all right. So I open up the doors. It's like a huge gymnasium, right? But like those like gray tile floors, like in a high school cafeteria.
Yes. Wow, and that was very vivid.
There's chairs and tables everywhere, all of them unoccupied. At the far end, there's a hearth, like a big stone fireplace. And there's two old ladies sitting next to it in chairs. And they're kind of just like rocking back and forth. And they're talking, they're laughing, they're having a good time. I came in silently. I cross to them. I don't really know what they were talking about, but I come up and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, they look at me with so much fear in their eyes, like so confused. And one of them says to me, you should not be here. And I was like,
that's kind of wild.
I was like, what are you talking about? This is a dream. Like,
okay,
so
wait, like, what were they dressed in? Like, how were they, like, what did they
look I don't
like?
Remember. Like, I just remember they were like two old ladies.
Okay.
That's all I remember about them.
But they were like old.
Yeah. Obviously old. Like they had like that young old person look, but they were obviously old. So I'm talking to them. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like,
So they were like.
You're analyzing these old ladies.
Yes,
too much
I am.
Right now.
I'm way, like, way analyzing. So I'm like, what do you mean, young old people? Like,
so you know how you can tell when someone's old, but they still look like they could live for a lot
longer.
They're
youthful.
They're like youthful 80-year-olds where they're like,
yes,
they
okay.
aged well,
and like they kay. Like they like they still enjoy life.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I got it.
And they're like, you shouldn't be here. And I was like, what are you talking about? This is a dream. It doesn't matter. And then one of them says, this isn't a dream. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, your body's asleep, but where you are right now is not dreaming.
You're messing with me so
I'm
much
serious.
Right now.
I'm serious.
You're messing with
nobody
me so
believes
much.
Me when I tell this story, and this is why, because it sounds so fake. But I'm 100%. This has shaken me for my whole life.
You're shaking me right now.
So
I'm
they say this
out.
To me, and I was like freaking out. And they're like, "This is not okay. We need to help you figure this out." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And they're like, "This is dangerous. Like." You're
like astral projecting to another universe?
I don't know. It feels like it, though. And they're telling me, like, it's basically like that stupid cliche, like, you die in the game, you die in real life. Like, they told
me
that. They're like, you need to be careful because if something happens to you that's bad enough, like, it's possible for you to die here and you won't wake up. And I was like,
are all of these weird dreams like this?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
With the dream witches?
So no, I was like, all of these weird dreams that, like, you write down all these
different
dreams.
No, not those
ones. Okay.
No, those ones.
This specific dream.
This specific set of dreams.
These ones are freaky.
Right. And they're like, okay, we need to train you. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, well, because your body thinks you're dreaming, you have complete control over the world around you. So they take me,
okay,
like,
whoa.
They, like, take me out back, and they start showing me, like, they've convinced their bodies they're dreaming too.
It's like a...
So they have, like, this power to, like, control it, and they can, like, warp to these other places, and they're teaching me how to, like, control these
powers.
I'm
literally having a Karate Kid montage.
So
right
I'm
now.
Doing, like, these... I'm doing, like, these different things from, like, video games, like Sonic, you know, how he, like, rolls really fast? Like, I was doing that.
You were being Sonic in this dream, which is dream.
Yeah, because
I
just
imagined, like, the Sonic
me.
Theme song
it
in my head.
It made sense to me. Like, they were like, you have to move as fast as you can. I was like, well, Sonic moves really fast when he's rolling over the ball spinning. So I was doing that.
Like, and Taz from...
And it was, like, it sounds so silly, but...
No, I know.
And
I could be sick.
And I'm, like, talking to them, and it feels like hours that I'm here. And I was like, I am done now. And they're like, we need to finish training you because we don't know if you'll ever come back here. We don't know if we'll ever find you again. And until you figure this out, you might keep doing this on accident. And I was like... Well, how do I leave? Just let me know that. And they're like, well, you can basically tell yourself that anything works as a clause for exit. And I was like, okay. And they're like, so what does that mean? And they're like, well, that coin there, for example, you could tell yourself that touching that will wake you up, and then it will. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I went and I touched the coin, and I woke up.
Was it, and that's it?
Well, that's the end of the dream witches. But like for the next couple of months, I kept having dreams where I'd wake up, and I wasn't me. And I'd be in these weird situations and I'd go help somebody with something. But then I'd know I was about to wake up, so I'd book it as far out of sight as possible and then lay back down and close my eyes and then wake up in my bed. So, like, the example I always tell, I always give the dream witches and I give the one example that's the most clear to me.
Okay.
I woke up in a desert and I was taller and I could feel, I felt really light, but I was, like, super, like, fit.
You were Samson, pretty much.
I come over this little hill, there's a broken down truck and this group of people that are very distraught, and I go up to them, and they're freaking out when I'm approaching, and I'm like, no, calm down, it's okay, I'm here to help you, it's the only reason I'm here. And they're like, okay, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, look, where are you headed? And they're like, there's a safe house, like, 30 miles that way.
Oh, safe house, so they were like...
Yeah.
They were, and, like, in danger.
Yeah. And I knew they were in danger, but I didn't know from what. It was, like, some kind of government.
Okay.
And I pile their bags on my shoulders, and I'm carrying way more weight than I think I should be able to carry, and I'm carrying more weight than they think I should be able to carry, but it doesn't feel like it weighs anything, because I'm telling myself it's a dream. I cross all the way to this place, and we're sneaking around, and we, like, get them to, like, this safe location. It's, like, underneath, it's, like, a cellar beneath, like, this bombed-out house, and I get them there, and I'm, like, handing them their bags, and we're making sure everything's okay, and I go, with one of them to do, like, this little scout op to, like, sort of see what the city's like. And then halfway through this scout op, I turn to the guy and I'm like, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I need to leave now. And he's like, thank you for everything you've done. Can we repay you? And I was like, anything you give me won't matter because I'll never be here again. And he was super confused. But then I just went back out into the desert and I laid back down and then I woke up in my bed. And I had dreams like that for like 6 months.
This is blowing my mind right now. Like, and, we need to make a TV series about this.
And when those dreams finally stopped, I have no idea what made them stop. But... like, since then, pretty much every dream I've had, I've been lucid. Like, I've been aware I'm dreaming.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to have a couple days to process that, I'm being totally honest. That's wild. Well, because you know my brain works at a million miles a minute when it comes to, like, supernatural things like
Everyone
that.
Everyone at home, please overanalyze these dreams and send me your incredibly detailed
I already am!
Dossiers.
I'm still on the old ladies!
Just send me
the
your
dream
incredibly,
witches.
Incredibly detailed theses on what these mean.
Did they call themselves the dream witches, or did you give them that name?
I think I gave them that. I don't remember. They probably gave me names, but I wasn't paying attention. Oh my gosh. Did I tell you about the time that I think I saw my subconscious?
Okay, I think we need to end this podcast right here. So thanks for joining us today on this podcast. Maybe we'll get to the subconscious next time.
Yeah, ask me questions about my dreams so that we can actually dedicate episodes to talking about it.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking we should start a whole podcast just about dreams. Like, we talk about dreams we had that week.
I'd subject myself to too much ridicule. I told you about the dreams I had the other night where I fell asleep and I kept waking up and getting back into the same theme of dreams, and I had three. It's the first note in my phone.
I don't think you told me about that.
Three sad dreams.
You did tell me about that, now I remember.
Yeah, they weren't even sad.
You were just sad in them.
I just felt sad about them.
Oh.
I wish that was me.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
All right, peace out.
Wait.
What?
We have a sign-off, remember?
What's our sign? I don't even remember.
Come on, you know.
No,
we talked about it. We talked about it last time. We talked about it this time, like 20 minutes ago.
I don't remember.
We talked about it when we were on break. Come on, hands in the middle. On three. One, two, three. It's over.
Yay, it's over. I remember now.
Yeah.